full body. You know the feeling of blushing in your face? When your face is just like hot and red and like tingly? It's that, but like the whole body. My whole body was blushing and terrified and like tingly and hot and like sweating profusely and just like, fuck, are we really about to do this? Fuck, are we really about to do this? Hello, welcome to Empowered Expression Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline Addington, former engineer and neuroscientist turned personal branding, Instagram marketing maven. And that's what we talk about for the most part on this podcast. We talk about marketing things, but like in a way that feels good and not weird. We talk about mindset stuff, spirituality stuff. But this episode is the first of an unusual series that's going down. Bow, bow, bow. So, a little bit of backstory. This is a storytelling series, not your normie, not your normal situation. And to be honest, as I'm sitting down to record it, I'm a little bit like, oh God, are we really about to do this? I don't know. Okay, we'll find out. Let's see. But here's how this series came to be. Yesterday. Yesterday morning, I was having brunch with a friend, a beautiful human, and I was telling a story of, a rather intense experience that I had several years ago. And she was like, Caroline, you need to share these stories in your content more. Like, you need to share more of what you've lived through. And I was like, but do I really? Like, I don't know. Blah, blah. And she was like, bitch, yes. She knows her human design really well. And she was like, boo, it's in your fucking human design to share your stories. And that's how people really like connect with the lessons that you have to share in the world. And I was like, okay, maybe we'll do it. Because the truth of it is, some of the stories that I have, you know, I just really quickly before I hit record, just kind of jotted down, like, what have been some of the really defining, extreme experiences and like defining experiences that I've had over the last few years, ever since I decided to really start living my life on my terms, my way, instead of somebody else's life that they had prescribed for me, right? I made a list of some of the most like intense defining moments, and they feel sticky to share. They feel a little sticky to share because many of these I've never really shared in the online space. In fact, you know, as I'm looking at them on the sticky notes in front of me, they've probably not really been shared all at once like this with anyone in my life. You know, they've been shared in moments here and there. And, you know, I have like Jake, for example, my boo-boo has lived with me through this, but it still doesn't really necessarily know the internal dialogue that was happening within me as I was living through these different experiences and the big lessons that I took away from it and what my experience was of it, right? So it feels a little bit like not in the throat to sit down and record this mini series, but we're going to do it because I'm a big believer in doing the things that feel true and real that also put knots in our throats, because that's how you know it's probably a juicy situation. So we're gonna follow the nudge. So if you're tuning in for the first time, welcome to a very unique and special series. I'm glad that you're here. If you've been a longtime listener, my hope is that I'm a teacher at heart. So my hope is that, of course, you like are able to take the lessons that I learned through these experiences and run with them. But I also just want to give permission, because at certain parts in my in my entrepreneurial journey and like life journey, I've definitely been at rock bottom. Objectively, we can call it a rock fucking bottom, as you will find out. And all of it is okay. All of it is okay. All of it is okay. At every point in the journey, we are exactly where we're supposed to be, learning exactly what we're supposed to be learning. And like I was saying to my friend yesterday, I'm so fucking grateful for these experiences because as a result of them, I can hold a really wide range of experience, right? Like within my own life, my own self, if I go through something big and scary, I can hold myself in it, but I can also hold clients in it, right? Like you literally can't surprise me with anything. You know, I think it's a gift if we have these big, intense experiences, because when we can hold ourselves through stuff like that, then we can, you can just hold yourself through anything and you realize how strong and resilient and capable you really are. So get ready to come on a very exciting journey together. And the way that I'm going to be recording this is it's hard for me, honestly, to like separate these things out because it's like one continuous timeline. So the way that I'm going to do it is I'm just going to record the whole thing, the whole story, and chop it up into different podcast episodes. So we're talking about like four, I guess, big stories, four different like chapters or times of life. And as we move through them, then we'll just pick up where we left off in the next episode. So without further ado, if this is resonating and it's like touching your heart, share it, because I think it's so important for people to see themselves, like just see that it's okay to be wherever the fuck you are and that wherever you're starting your business, you can build something beautiful. You can always, always, always build something beautiful. You can always build something that's going to positively impact the world around you in big and small ways, in measurable and immeasurable ways. So if it's resonating with you and if it's really like moving something inside of you, please share it, because if it moves something in you, then it's going to move something in somebody else. And I just think it's so important to see, you know, other humans and what they've lived through, because we're all humans doing human stuff. And the more that we can normalize all the messies, the better. So normalize the messy humanness. All right. So with that, I'll see you in there. Okay. So we're going to start back around like 2017, late 2017, early 2018, when I was leaving science and starting my first business, which was an athletic wear company that totally crashed and burned in record lightning speed. So let's dive into it. You may have heard me tell the story of leaving science before. I've shared that. If I've like been interviewed on other people's podcasts, I've shared that a little bit, and I may have shared it on the podcast here, but let's just like dive into it in case you haven't heard it. So before Caroline in front of you now, I was Caroline in a little box, shoving myself into a really restrictive, constrictive box of who I thought I needed to be. And I did my PhD in biomedical engineering, and I moved to Virginia, where I live now, to do my postdoc, which is kind of like an academic version of like a medical residency. It's like between you're finishing your doctorate and becoming a professor running your own lab. It's this like purgatory in between. So I moved to Virginia to do that. And I happened to move and join a really prestigious, world-renowned lab that was doing super sexy science at the cutting edge of neuroimmunology, which is the study of basically the immune system within the brain and the central nervous system. And about a year into it, I realized, holy fucking shit, this is slowly killing me. It is slowly killing me. It was a really toxic work environment, really toxic, which is a whole cause that, like, I'm so grateful that there are people that are picking up this cause and running with it, which is like shining a light on the abuse that happens in academia. I think a lot of people just, like, you know, scientists are just kind of behind closed doors doing their things, and people just assume that they're happy and healthy and thriving, but that is oftentimes very, very far from the truth. There's a lot of emotional and psychological abuse that happens in labs all over the country, and I found myself in one of those labs. I could go on and on about that because I would love, I think it's important to spread awareness, but also that's not like the flag that I've chosen to pick up and carry in this lifetime. It was a catalyst for me more than it was a purpose, right? But needless to say, I was in a lab that graduates would have PTSD from after they graduated. So it was a difficult situation. And after about a year, I realized, like, this is not worth it. My body is really struggling. I went on a 3-week vacation with my sister traveling through Asia. And that was like a scandalous amount of time to take a vacation. It was like, oh, 3 whole weeks. Oh my God, you rebel. Do you even care about your career? So I had, you know, developed all these physical manifestations of chronic stress. In the lab, I was having heart palpitations. I was having like these like muscle twitches. You know how if you forget something and then you're like, oh shit. And your body is just kind of like, and you feel that jolt of adrenaline, like you forgot something important. I was constantly afraid of fucking things up, forgetting something, being called out for not being enough or doing it wrong. And so my body would, like, I had that oh shit moment so many times throughout any given day that I just started having these like full body twitches unrelated to thinking that I'd forgotten anything. I would just get like out of nowhere, almost like a spike of adrenaline, just be like, ugh, just take me over. And I just had twitches. It was awful. And I went on this vacation with my sister. And over the course of 3 weeks, all of these physical symptoms slowly subsided. And it was slow, so I didn't really notice it, you know? I was just like feeling more relaxed, feeling more connected with life again, feeling like I was enjoying myself again. And then I came back to the lab and all at once, they smacked me in the face and it went from 0 to 60 in no time. And I was like, whoa, my body can't, no. We're not gonna do this. This is clearly taking years off my life. And at this time, I didn't have a strong connection with my intuition at all. I didn't even trust the concept of following intuition. I was totally disconnected from my body. I had no sense of self-trust. I mean, in the sciences, everything is like peer-reviewed papers. So you're like validating your work, not because it's valid to you, but because it's valid to other people, right? So in every sense of the word, I was like outsourcing my sense of worth to other people, which is never a good look. And so they all came back and smacked me in the face. And I remember being in a meeting and I was looking around, you know, this was after I got back from vacation, and I was looking around in this meeting and I saw all of the assistant professors and associate professors, and that's who I was going to be, you know, in a couple of years. I was looking like 2 years into my future. And I'm looking around and I see all of them with fucking muscle twitches. All of them twitching the whole meeting. And I was like, oh no. Okay, we're done here. I'm not doing this anymore. I don't know what I'm doing next, but I'm not doing this anymore. And that was where the seed got planted. And I remember that decision. I was, you know, the seed was planted in that meeting when I was really realizing, like, oh shit, this is really not the path forward that I want for my life. But the decision to leave and to communicate it to my basically boss, advisor, at the time happened when I was sitting at my kitchen table and I was like, whoa, I have been sacrificing myself and my life for what? For what? So that other people can think I'm doing a good job? Never again. And it was, you know, that was one of the greatest lessons, I would say, of leaving science was the deep-hearted recognition that nothing is worth sacrificing our truth. There's nothing in the 3D world. No amount of validation, prestige, money, you know, whatever the thing is that we think will, like we've been conditioned to think will make us happy or bring us a sense of wholeness, right? There's literally nothing in the 3D world that is worth sacrificing your truth. Because if you don't have that, what do you have? Right? Like, oh, yeah. Here I was in a really prestigious lab. And I'd been there, I was there for a total of a year and a half before I left. And that was longer than like 50% of the people who came through and didn't make the cut, right? So not only was I in a really prestigious and famous lab, but I was making it. I was quote unquote doing it, right? I was like doing the things. And yet, right? Like here with this prestige, with this whatever, like no amount of that 3D world recognition could bring me joy, bring me health, bring me a sense of meaning, purpose, and vitality and alignment, right? So there's literally nothing in the 3D world that's worth that sacrifice. And whew, I don't think I will ever forget the feeling in my body right before I walked into my advisor's office to break the news that I was leaving. Like, oh my God. Oh my God. It was like, huh. Like even just now, like thinking about it, I can conjure it back up in my body and feel it. And it was this just like, I'm sure if you've left a 9-to-5, you know this feeling. Or if you've had to do anything that was like, had to have any kind of conversation that you were absolutely batshit terrified to have, just like poop your pants, defecate all over yourself, terrified to have, then you can probably relate to this experience. But it was just this like full body, you know, the feeling of blushing in your face when your face is just like hot and red and like tingly. It's that, but like the whole body, my whole body was blushing and terrified and like tingly and hot and like sweating profusely and just like, fuck, are we really about to do this? Fuck, are we really about to do this? And you know what? Actually, like the day before I walked in and shared this news, I'd had an exceptionally hard day at the lab and like people were being exceptionally unkind to each other and exceptionally abusive. And I was like ready that afternoon to walk in and say, fuck it all. I'm done. I quit. Bye, motherfuckers. Peace. But fortunately, my advisor wasn't anywhere to be found. And that's another really juicy lesson from this experience was like always making big moves in love. If I'd gone in there in that energy and had that conversation from that energy where it's like, bye, suckers, I'm gone, peace out, this place is shitty and toxic, ugh, fuck it, then it would have been a totally different conversation, a really unhealthy conversation, right? A really probably unproductive and like messy conversation. So I'm really glad that he was nowhere to be found so that I could have a night to like come back to my center. And when I made the decision to go in the next day and have this conversation, it was so rooted in love, so rooted in love. And that's something that I'm really proud of. It's like I went in there and I was like, I'm not doing this to as an abandonment of the project or as an abandonment of the lab or of you or of anything. I'm not saying no to all of that. I'm saying yes to myself. saying yes to me and to my life and to what feels true to me. And I have to follow that. And when you come from that honest, earnest place, I was amazed. Even the most, you know, toxic environment was receptive to that. Which I guess is like, there's just like a fuck ton of lessons. There's just going to be a spattering of lessons in this storytelling series, clearly. But that sense of like, when you come to a conversation in love and from love, that's what you're going to receive. 9 times out of 10. Even the people with the most armored hearts somehow still seem to be able to meet you. Or at least respect and honor what you're doing. That's really what it was. Of course, it was a painful experience for them. Of course, they were upset. They were distraught. They were like, well, fuck. Like, because I had like a, you know, a valuable expertise set. And now they were going to have to figure out how to replace that. And what were we going to do? And da 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 da. And all these things. But there was respect. There was respect. So when we come from love, it garners respect. So I communicate this decision to leave, and I have no idea. I guess actually at this point, I had already started to like conjure up an idea of what I was going to do. And that was my first business. It was an athletic wear, very bespoke athletic wear company. What I would do, how this business worked, is I commissioned artwork for people, and then I turned that artwork into athletic wear. Into leggings and crop tops and things like this. And just the most recent music festival I went to, there was a friend who was wearing a pair of the leggings. And I was like, oh my God, you wear them. And she's like, they're the perfect festival leggings. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. And yeah, so that was my first company. And it was started through a Kickstarter campaign. A successfully funded Kickstarter campaign to create a little bit of capital so that I could leave this toxic job and start the things. I had no business experience at the fuck all. At the fuck all. I'm reading a book right now called In Love With Life. It's a wonderful book. It was recommended by a fabulous human, and it shares the story of a Tibetan monk who had always lived, you know, in the confines of the abbot and then left and, you know, decided to venture out into the world and beg and live on the streets and all this stuff. And like, there was a line in that book that reminded me so much of what it felt like to go from science to entrepreneurship. The line was like, I had experienced all this spiritual training in my life, but no training in what it's like to, you know, like no tangible real life skills. This monk went out and he was like, I don't even know how to buy a train ticket, right? And that's exactly where I was when I entered into entrepreneurship. Didn't know jack shit about any of it. Highly overconfident, excessively overconfident. I had this story in my head where I was like, well, you know, if I can figure out how to like do a PhD and wiggle my way into this like, you know, competitive lab and do all this stuff, then I can figure out entrepreneurship. No big deal. It'll be easy. I got this. Ha ha. Ha ha ha. Cause I was thinking at that time that like entrepreneurship is just hustle. You know, in my head, the things that were hard in quote unquote hard in life were, it was just a matter of hustle. Nose to the grindstone, get it done, do the things, no excuses. Like that was my energy. That was my mindset at the time. And so I was like, well, I've got that mastered. I know how to pull all-nighters. I know how to do the shit and get it done. And I'm committed and blah, 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 blah. I'm disciplined, all the things. It'll be fine. Well, clearly we know that that is not what makes entrepreneurship hard at all. It's the continual reinvention of yourself, the dying off of parts of you that you thought were safe to exchange them for parts of you that are uncertain, but more true and more free and more real over and over and over and over again, right? This is what makes entrepreneurship hard. So needless to say, that first company absolutely tanked. And this was a really challenging chapter of my life. That was the failure of this business was the most challenging chapter of my life.